Welcome back, everyone, to a new edition of Dr. Keith Presents and a new series of the show starting up tonight, or today, whenever it is you'll listen to this. And our first part of this series, well, I should explain what the series is. We're going to be, in light of the fact that I'm kind of really pissed off at WWE at the moment, not for firing Bryan Danielson or in particular Bryan Danielson, but just the fact that that signifies how into this PG direction they are. And I don't want to sound like all the people that rant about that. It's just annoying me, so I'm just going to part from WWE for the time being. And, of course, TNA is shit, and everyone hates that. So, I'm kind of wanted to highlight some of the alternatives, which we kind of do already on this show, but I wanted to really specify kind of what's going on in various promotions. And I decided that the way to go about this was to do several shows. I'm not sure how many it's going to be at this point, but we'll see. Certainly be at least two or three. And we'll look on each show at specific promotions, and we're going to have specific guests on, many of whom won't have ever been on this show before. So a lot of people being given chances at the big time here, like, because this is where the money is in wrestling podcasting.
NXT.
Yeah, and there you heard the voice of our first debutant, or debutante, as you would say, and he will be here discussing what is DGUSA, Chikara, Evolve, and a few other little bits and pieces as well. And this is Mikey Falcone, or Falcone?
Falcone.
Falcone, okay.
Yeah, you could just call me Mike. Mikey's the email. But what's up, everybody? I'm thankful for you having me on.
And you may know Mikey as Mike Hill from CZW
Fan. Michael.
Or Michael. I always pronounce it Mike Hill in my head. I really
Hill. That's what it's, I always like wonder like what my username like what people like interpret it as. You know what I mean? Because like I kind of notice it might sound a little violent. I don't know. You know. But I figured I have the Norm Macdonald avatar to make everyone
true
about Norm.
True. So I got Mike Hill. Or Mike, what should I call you for the show?
You can call me Mike, please.
Yeah, of course. So I got Mikey on to, you just said call you Mike, and I started calling you Mikey. I'm fucking late, I'm sorry.
Call me whatever you want.
I'll call you Tozawa.
Tozawa. That's the guy that yells a lot, right?
Yeah. So Mike's on, he's going to talk about DGUSA, Evolve, and Chikara with us. And these are promotions that are really, they've got some key shows coming up, some really big shows for them.
Arguably the biggest weekend of the year.
Sorry?
I said it's arguably like one of the biggest, you know, weekends of the year for like indies, you know? At least the summer anyway.
As everyone knows, a staple of this is that I rarely do any preparation. So of course I don't know the exact dates of this weekend, but I'm sure Mike, since you're going to the shows, you can tell me what they are.
Well, I'm not going to Evolve, but that's Friday. That's Friday, July 23rd.
Yeah,
and that's in Union City, New Jersey.
Yep,
I have it pulled up here at the Ace Arena. Which, by the way, if you have never seen the Ace Arena before, Alan, I don't know, but it's like this awesome little venue. It's perfect for like this type of promotion. So it's gonna be
really show there.
Yeah, and like I don't know if you saw Frightmare did like a spot for the top. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I got the gif of that. Someone sent me the gif of that, and it was kind of like loading, like, you know the way those gifs kind of load slow, like
I was loading it on my iPod or on my iPhone, so like it was going real slow. So when I sat this morning at work, it just blew my mind because I had the DVD, but I just haven't watched this show yet.
Yeah, I just couldn't. I was like, it was going together like frame by frame, and I was like, what is he hanging up there, what's going on? And then it like got to the end and it played normal speed, and I was like, holy shit, that's the craziest thing I've ever seen. Like I couldn't, it was like I remember there used to be a gif of I forget who it was, maybe like Alistair Overeem or someone in MMA. They like this big like flying knee knockout where they like were running. It was almost like a Shining Wizard where they ran up the
guy. Yeah, I don't know what you're... Yeah.
And he
oh,
kind of...
That's crazy.
Someone made a gif where he, like, kept running and, like, jumped onto the top of the cage and jumped off the cage. And it looked really real, but it obviously wasn't real. But I kind of thought that was, like, what was happening with that Frightmare gif, because I was like, He didn't really jump up and hang off the ceiling, did he? Oh,
yeah. Yeah, that was...
did.
Blew my mind. It was crazy.
It was crazy. But, yeah, so that's the Friday Night Evolve show, and then I guess it's the Saturday and Sunday we've got DGUSA, and my favorite title of a Shikara show, maybe ever, and people know I'm not the biggest fan of the Chikara titles. I never remember them.
Not me neither.
They're too long. Like, I like the PWG ones because they're usually short and snappy and you can kind of remember them. A lot of Chikara ones are like the airplane that doesn't move, that spins when the ground hits.
Yeah. With verve and a bit of nerve.
Yeah.
I fucking hate that because, you know what, that show is so good. And it's like, I hate the fact that that's what that fucking title of the show is.
Yep. But this one I love. I think this is an amazing title. Chikarasaurus Rex. I love it. The logo, the Jurassic Park style logo.
Dot dot king of show.
Oh, it's so good. I love it. But so that's a big weekend for these three promotions. I think what we're gonna do is we're gonna look at each of these promotions individually, one by one. So which do you wanna start with, Mike? You're the guest. I'll give you the office.
We could start with, I guess, why don't we just go in order of that weekend? We could start with Evolve, then Dragon Gate, then Chikara, then we'll do my random talking. We're going to talk about CZW, so
yep.
That's a little preview.
CZW, Lil JP, whatever's on Mike's mind. So we'll start with Evolve then. So Evolve had their first show in January of this year,
January.
I believe it was. So... we've had three shows since then. I've seen two of them. I believe the third one is set for release pretty soon. And yeah, and this fourth show, I guess, wasn't originally supposed to happen. I think there was going to be a longer break until the next show in September. But then a certain guy got fired for a certain bullshit. And it opened up a lot of opportunities. And I think Gabe must have said, well, he might not be around in September, so let's do another show in July. So we've got this Evolve show. I'd like to go back to the start. As I mentioned, the first show was in January, and
it was a great show.
Yeah, it was a great show. When
like it really was, you know, like it really was just a really good show. You know, looking back on it,
when you kind of heard about Evolve starting up and like this sort of sister promotion of Dragon Gate USA and all this stuff, like, what were you expecting? What were your hopes for it? And, like, from the first show perspective, at least, did it meet those expectations?
Well, my main thing was, like, I just really got back in indie wrestling about, you know, just about, like, a year ago, really. So, like, what I was hoping for this promotion to do was just, like, have a whole bunch of new guys, like Adam Cole or, like, Kyle O'Reilly, especially Kyle O'Reilly, and just, you know, have that time to have their own promotion to start and build from the bottom up. So, like, I'd say it's been really good so far. Like, I think a lot of the rules that they've been doing, like, with the I'll get into one later. I don't want to spoil it now because I'll actually talk about it when I talk about Evolve 3. But, like, I think it just gets to be too much, like, with the instant replay and what all this stuff. I just wish it was just a wrestling promotion, not, like, a MMA-influenced wrestling promotion.
Yeah, you know? I think that seems to be common consensus. Like, for me, I don't really care for all that sort of extracurricular stuff that they have going on.
But I'll just follow wrestling.
At the same time, I'm pretty easily able to kind of block it out, as it doesn't really bother me. Like, I don't care for it. It doesn't add to my enjoyment of it, but it doesn't really take from my enjoyment of it. Like, if there's some big thing in like a that's written on the website, some big decree on various rules or stuff, and it's just, if it's of no interest to me, I just don't read it, and I just watch the rest of the show.
When it gets down to it, if the match is good, you know, it's a good match.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter.
And I think people seem just too quick to want to have an excuse to not like it, because, I mean, I really don't think a lot of that extra stuff...
People seem to have that for, like, a lot of things, you know?
It doesn't really affect the product. Like, I mean, if you watch those first two DVDs, like I have, like, I mean... A lot of that stuff that goes up on the website that people complain about and stuff, it doesn't really take away from the wrestling matches or the performance of the guys. So, I wouldn't be too worried about that if you're someone who hasn't really watched much of the Evolve product and you want to get into it. I wouldn't let that stuff put you off, because it really doesn't, if it's not for you, it really won't affect your enjoyment of it. And maybe you will like it, maybe it will add to your enjoyment, I don't know. But as far as the shows, as far as the first show itself, I think that was the perfect show to start. Because
it really was, yeah.
You showcased a lot of guys on the undercard, and I think probably there was maybe one or two too many matches. I would have maybe just knocked off one or two.
Yeah, I'd say so, especially being there live, too.
I think just kind of, some of the matches were just a bit too short, so I would have taken away. I wouldn't say you should get rid of the women's stuff they're doing, but it's just, it's not my cup of tea.
I
will happily, happily is not really the word, but honestly admit that I have skipped both the Mercedes Martinez matches on both DVDs, and it's nothing against her in particular. I just really aren't that big a fan of watching like women's wrestling.
You only have so much time to watch all this wrestling, you know.
Exactly. It's just not for me.
Real quick though, because you asked about like that first show, like it like really did deliver. Because, like, that Bobby Fish Kyle O'Reilly match, like, I felt might have been, like, the perfect match to open that whole show. Even just to debut that entire promotion, you know, in itself. Just because, like, it was Kyle O'Reilly, who was this new guy. He had a really good showing at the Dragon Gate pre-show match in November. And, like, he was a guy I really haven't seen a lot of, and I still, sadly, really haven't seen a lot of either. Because Evolve really is, like, the only promotion I followed that he wrestles for.
Yeah.
So, like, when I watch... going in and seeing that, and I thought Bobby Fish held up his own, oh my God, just unbelievably well itself, because like he, like I didn't really know much of him except for that he had a goofy name, and that like he was like on like a couple ROH, you know, TV tapings as a jobber. I really haven't seen him a lot, and that match just fucking delivered big time.
Yeah, I think Bobby Fish is a guy who I've seen a few times on just like Noah tours and stuff. And he never really stood out from the pack or anything up until there was a tour maybe about a couple of months before that first Evolve show. And he was in a tag match with, I think it was Kenta and maybe Akihito Ito against Bobby Fish and Atsushi Aoki. And Aoki was feuding with Kenta at the time, building up to a title match. And Fish and Ito were just kind of the partners that were in for this tag. And Fish just absolutely brought it so, like, to the point I'd never seen him before like that. And it was really eye-opening. I was like, whoa, this guy is more than I ever gave him credit for. And,
yeah, you know what? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, continue.
Yeah, and I was just going to say then when he was booked in Evolve, I was like, okay, if I saw his name on the roster before I saw that Noah match, I probably wouldn't have been very excited, but now I'm kind of interested to see what he does. And he has been a real standout. Like, we'll get to the second and third
show. We can even get to him now. I was just thinking,
sure.
Like, fuck it.
Exactly.
We don't have to go by Evolve.
Exactly.
Because he had a fucking great match with Claudio on Evolve, too.
Oh, yeah.
That might have been, like, the best match on the show, actually.
That match with Claudio was just, they were beating the crap out of each other, and they were working so hard. It was great.
And one of the main reasons I'm really anxious for Evolve 3 to come out, and, you know, that was just such a fucking great show, too, top to bottom, just unbelievable. And, like, you know, he had such a good match with Chris Hero that, like, I just can't wait for people to see because it's so good. It really is, like, it might have been, like, the best match on that show, too.
Did you see by any chance 16 Carat from WXW this year? Which reminds me, that's another show I need to add to my list for this.
Yes. The Vision from March.
No. The 16 Carat shows, the ones, the tournament in Germany, like the week before the ECW Arena show?
Yeah. I have not seen it, no.
You didn't see it? Okay, I was going to ask you how the Bobby Fish Hero match compared to some of the Hero singles matches from that, because... those, for anyone who hasn't seen them, like Hero against Martin Stone, Hero against Big Van Walter, are just the Martin Stone match is just an amazing wrestling match, just crazy stiff, just one of my favorite Hero singles matches ever. The Big Van Walter match is more, it's got that greatness about it, but the real selling point of that match is the absolute insane heat for it. But anyway,
just Big Van Walter is just like I saw two matches of his, like, and they were both like on that same day that WCCW doubleheader was, and like he's just like such like a enticing figure, you know. He like, so I could see how like that could be like a really cool match.
I liked how he kind of developed this aura kind of amongst people who hadn't seen him just based on the name.
On his name, exactly.
Yeah, it's such an eye-catching name.
I know. I wanted him to be like Big Van Vader, like come out with like that fucking thing that Vader used to wear that would shoot like the smoke out in the mask. That was awesome.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, he's a bit more generic than that.
No, he did not have that, no.
Maybe if he's listening, Big Van Walter, that's something you can look into.
We need to invest
the best,
in, yeah.
The best thing I've ever seen was on the... And we'll get back to Evolve in a second here, but on the... WX on the 16 karat DVDs, there's a bonus which is a soccer match between the wrestlers and the fans from the third night, before the show. Big Van Walter is playing on the wrestlers team occasionally. He comes in and out off the bench, and he was just like picking up people and throwing them against like the ground and just like giving guys like a airplane spins and stuff.
He was doing that like at the CCW show, like after intermission. Like it was kind of weird. Like all like the WXW guys were just like out like just sitting in the crowd, and like you could see like he was kind of playing with everyone, like picking up, posing for pictures. It was real cool.
Yeah. He's a beast. You wouldn't want to mess with him in real life or in a wrestling ring. But anyway, back to Evolve, which maybe he may show up in Evolve one day. You never know. But
possible.
Yeah, so Bobby Fish, as we were mentioning, has been doing great, and I really like his story of... I actually am somewhat emotionally invested in the Bobby Fish story they've been doing. I really liked the segment on the second show where, after he lost to Claudio, he like was on the phone to his wife, girlfriend, significant other, and they were like chastising him for being a loser, and like... You had just seen the great thing that I loved about that was you as the viewer had just seen Bobby Fish have this hard fought match against like one of the best wrestlers in the world in Claudio, and he just came up a little bit short, but man, put in a great effort. That was kind of what you saw as the viewer, and then he's on the phone to this person who at the time hadn't seen it and just heard he lost and was giving him shit over it. And you're just like, oh, if you saw this, you wouldn't be giving him shit over it. That's what you're thinking if you're kind of...
Yeah, exactly.
If you're involved, if you're kind of losing your sense of disbelief or whatever they say. I really loved that. I thought that was a great little thing. And I like where they're going with that. I think when he gets his big win, it will be huge. He lost to Hero in the third match, yeah?
Yeah, you know what? Like, maybe, like, These records are kind of silly now, but like, you know, now that Bobby Fish is, now that he's like 0-3, like it is going to mean a little bit more like when he actually does get a win, you know? So I could kind of see like where it's leading to. You just have to have a little patience.
Where would you, or when would you have him get his win? Would you let him, would you think it needs to happen in the next match, or do you think it should be stretched a bit longer? Or at what point do you think if he goes maybe 10-0, it's like starting to think, well, this guy's a bit of a loser. Or sorry, 0-10, I should say.
Yeah, like I would maybe have it like when he's like 0-6 or something like that. Like I wouldn't stretch it out too long because you kind of see like what happens, you know.
Yeah, the thing
in the end, he's like when you stretch out like that big moment for too long, you know what I mean? It kind of you know, kind of loses it, you know.
The thing is, I think Ned's last few losses have been Claudio and Hero. He can't. He needs to keep wrestling. Like, it wouldn't shock me if he wrestles Danielson in that July show and lose to Danielson, because I mean, after losing to Claudio and Hero, you really can't have him lose to, I don't know, like Adam Cole, for the sake of a name.
Yeah, who do you want Danielson to fight on Evolve 4?
I hadn't really thought about it. I suppose now's a good time to kind of to think about it, but like I'd be perfectly fine with Bobby Fish. I think Bobby Fish should be a good one. I think it would add to that story if he lost to Danielson, and then I think maybe the fifth match would be the one where I'd give him the win. But after coming like really close to Danielson, to beating Danielson, I think that could be perfect. Obviously, if they can get Japanese imports in, I'm kind of thinking probably won't be due to just the kind of not thrown together nature of the show, but the fact that it was kind of only a recent idea to have this show. makes me think there's probably not going to be any Japanese fly-ins, but I could be completely wrong. But
yeah.
If of the American guys, I think Chuck Taylor would be awesome, because they had a match on some PWG, which was pretty much total comedy. It was back in Chuck's kind of not so serious.
Yeah, what was that at? 100 was it, or 99? One of those shows.
Yeah, it was one of those shows before last year's DDT4, and it was like Chuck in like recent months in PWG. Chuck's been way more serious, and he's still been goofy Chuck, but he's been like kicking people's asses in matches and stuff. Whereas in his first few matches, like he's getting his ass kicked by Candice LeRae. In that match with Danielson, he was just doing like the whole like screaming, yeah, getting beat up stuff, and which is all great. But I mean, I'd like to see what a serious Chuck versus Danielson match would be like. I think it could be really, really good. And you're playing off the fact that that Chuck made him tap out in Chikara,
and like Chuck's kind of been playing on that on Twitter too.
Chuck always references that. I always get a kick out of him.
So like that would kind of make sense. I'd have him fight I'd have him wrestle O'Reilly. I think O'Reilly versus Danielson would just be so awesome.
I think O'Reilly would. I think that match would really help O'Reilly.
And Evolve 3, this is reason yet again why I can't wait for Evolve 3 to come out, is TJP versus Kyle O'Reilly was just such an awesome match. Like that, again, like I said, Hero and Fish might have been the best match. I think that might have been my favorite match of the night. Like, it was just so goddamn great.
Yep. And I think that Evolve 3 show from I remember reading the reviews at the time. I've kind of forgotten a lot about it, but
yeah,
it
so
was.
Like, I guess that's kind of good in a way, you know what I mean? Because like it'll be fresh, like when you go and watch it for the first time.
Exactly. That's what happens with like the Blessing in Disguise about it, a lot of the late PWG DVD releases, because I always read like actually a few shows recently. I haven't read results. I still don't know what happened at DDT4. So
me neither. I won't say anything, but like it's funny that you just say that, because I'm just actually getting to As the Worm Turns right now, which happened in February. So I mean,
you're gonna freak out when you see that show. It's amazing. I've got Titanica. I watched it As the Worm Turns last week. I've got Titanica sitting in front of me, and I need to watch it very soon. But
I have that as well.
I think a lot of those shows, like when I end up watching them, as you were saying, it's kind of cool when you've kind of forgotten about what happened. But on the Evolve show, I do remember reading that, like, there wasn't really, like, as big, like, because on the first two shows, they were kind of talked about as one or two match shows, whereas this third show was, seemed like it was more of a well-rounded card. Every match in the show, or at least the bulk of them, were at a really, really high level, which was really cool to hear, because, the non big name guys, if this promotion is to really survive, it's being put on the back of a lot of guys who don't have a lot of big match experience, and if they're stepped up already at this stage to the point where it sounded like they were on Evolve 3, then that's only going to spell good things for the company.
I agree.
Yeah, so I think, of course, I've got to mention that on the first two shows, a big part of them was the Japanese imports. We had, on the first show, Kota Ibushi and Munenori Sawa, and on the second show we had Ikuto Hidaka, who wrestled Chris Hero. The Sawa TJP match in the first show was one which I think was a lot of people's first exposure to Munenori Sawa, and it really when you see Munenori Sawa for the first time and just get
that was the first time I saw him.
Okay, well, you get to witness his charisma and stuff, it's just like, and his little mannerisms and stuff that he does in the ring, it's just, you can't help but love the guy.
Oh, he's great.
And that match was a perfect type of match to showcase him. TJP was the perfect guy for him to be wrestling against. He looked great, and they had a really, really nice match. And between that and the Kota Ibushi Davey main event on that show, I really think those two matches are ones people...
Yeah, they really gave it like those two big main event field type matches.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't watched Davey versus Ibushi from the Best of Super Juniors yet, but I think it was pretty short in the house show, so I'd say their Evolve match was a fair bit of...
It'd be a tough match to top anyway. I mean, I thought that match was really good.
It really was, and the second show then, you had Hiro Hidaka, a match which has gotten a lot of mixed reviews. Some people just weren't. It worked at a very slow pace. Very intricate technical wrestling on the mat, which isn't for everyone, but
no.
I really liked it. Like, I was getting into it, and I like that wrestling when it's done well, by guys with intensity. That's the key to me as far as like a technical mat work type match. You need to do it with intensity. Like, I remember a lot of those, like, Chad Collier, Matt Stryker matches from ROH, John Walters, like, a lot of those
for the pure title.
Yeah, a lot of those matches didn't have intensity. They were just like trading holds and stuff. And with Hiro and Hidaka, you felt like they were fighting for holds, and it was a real scrap. And
it was like a big guy versus a little guy too.
Yeah,
I mean,
that helped.
That going for it. Yeah.
And then Dan.
You know, the first time, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but the first time I saw this match, like, I'm agreeing what you're saying is, like, I actually had to go back and rewatch it, because, like, first time I watched it, like, I was like 10 minutes in, like, and I was busy doing other shit too. I mean, I was multitasking. I was like, I had to, like, turn it off because, like, I wasn't really enjoying it at all. I'm like, I need to, like, just focus and watch this match because, like,
yeah.
What they were doing was, it was very precise, I guess, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It was great. Like, once I ended up watching it, you know, I thought it was really good.
And it builds well. Like, when they start slow and they finish hard. I think we got an echo coming through there.
Yeah, that was totally me.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I had to change the NBA draft design, so I had to, like, reach for my...
Yeah, no bother. It's gone away now. Perfect. So, what was I saying? It really built so that at the end of the match, they were really going at it hard. And, like, if you'd been watching, like, closely from the start, which I watched twice, like yourself, the first time, like you, I wasn't really focusing on it perfectly, and I watched it again the second time. And when you really stick with it and, like, as they built up to the end of that match, it's really, really good stuff. And, so I think that's pretty much everything I want to mention about Evolve. Do you have anything else you want to talk about, Mike?
Yeah, I think I actually was going to reference it if we were going to talk about all three shows, but to talk about something I maybe didn't like, Evolve, and I'm actually interested in reading what people's takes are on it once they see that on DVD. But in the Johnny Gargano Ricochet match, I guess they were both outside for 20 seconds, and it was like a count out. So instead of just having it be a count out and a draw, which, you know, might be a shit finish, you know, anyway, I guess it was like whoever ran back into the ring first would get the win. And I just thought that was just really hokey, and I don't know, like, that's like one of the things I can maybe see some people's points.
So they just made that, they called that ruling on the fly, did they?
Yeah,
like
they did, because, like, it's like, it got to 15 seconds, and I said to my friend that I went to the show with, you know, like, what are they going to do, like, if it's a countout? I wonder if it's going to be a draw. And they're like, all right, the first person to get back in the ring is the winner of the match. And, like, everyone was like, what the fuck? Like, no one, like, it was just so stupid.
Yeah, no, I don't like to say that, you're right. I wouldn't be a big fan of that. There's definitely things like that have been on the DVDs. I know a lot of people haven't liked the what's his name? Sean Davis, aka Fat Guy. A lot of people haven't liked his stuff. I've liked it, but not so much because of him, just because all the stuff has kind of involved Johnny Gargano, and Johnny Gargano has been awesome in all those segments, I think. Johnny Gargano, Jimmy Jacobs interaction is tremendous. I just love it. And I
like Johnny Gargano's t-shirts, but I don't really like Johnny Gargano, unfortunately. I don't know. I just really haven't been too, you know, able to get into him yet, I guess.
Oh, maybe you'll turn the corner on.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see, but he's... I guess that feud with Jimmy Jacobs might be over at this point. I'm not sure. Like, it was Jimmy Jacobs versus Chuck Taylor signed for the next show. I think Chuck Taylor, it's kind of he'll carry the load of feuding with Jacobs himself. I don't think there'll be room for Gargano to be feuding with Jacobs at the same time. So it'll be interesting to see where they go with Gargano now. But so that's Evolve in a nutshell, everyone. So check out that Friday show if you're in the area, and get the DVDs. I would recommend the first two that I saw, and from the sound of Evolve 3, that's one worth seeing as well. So, Mike, we'll move on to the show that will happen next that weekend, that being DGUSA, Dragon Gate USA, another Gabe Sapolsky promotion. And I'll ask you the same question about Dragon Gate USA that I asked you about Evolve. When it started and you first heard about this promotion, and then when you saw the first show or first couple of shows, was it what you expected? Did it live up to what you were hoping from it?
Absolutely. I was just, you know, hoping that this would be a promotion where, you know, you bring the Dragon Gate guys to America, you know, put them in front of, like, an American audience who really hasn't seen, like, a lot of them. You know, a lot, like, they don't watch, like, all the, you know, the overseas stuff. So, like, they just kind of see, like, what happens in, you know, these DGUSA shows. And, like, I thought, like, they've really done a good job so far. Like, you know, I thought the first two shows really were, like, you know, maybe the best two shows, you know, all year, last year. And from what I heard, like, you know, the Canada shows were unbelievable. So I'm really anxious to see those.
Yep. Yeah, the first show was unreal. Like, I'd put that up. In, like, I have, like, a handful of wrestling shows, like, I can literally count on one hand, of shows that I would consider, like, the best show I've ever seen. And when that happened, it absolutely took its place amongst those shows. Not just because of the insane match quality, just from match one to match six or whatever it was, but also just the atmosphere and the kind of just the feeling about the, like, I remember I stayed up that night of that show to when the results started coming out. I never do that for, I don't think
there
I've ever
done. There
was
such a buzz for that show.
Yeah, there was.
It
such,
really was.
I never do that for ROH shows. Like, I never have. I didn't do it for a Dragon Gate USA show since. I've never done it for any other show. There was such a buzz about it. I wanted to feel a part of what was going on at that time at that show live, and it was like watching it on pay-per-view and then even more so on DVD. It really, really comes across just the specialness of the show. The show got a lot of attention from various websites, people like Brian and Dave.
It was the show of the year.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. You know what I mean? Like, I thought that was, like, nice that show is going to have, you know, its place in history. Like, you know, when, you know, 20 years from now, you go back and look at what was the best show of 2009. It was, you know, that show. So, and it really was, like, an awesome show. You know what I mean? It totally, you know, deserves that, you know, to be the best show of 2009.
Yeah, it's definitely been my favorite Dragon Gate USA show to date. But they went on from that show, and, like, I think a big part of that show was that it got over the different personalities of the different Dragon Gate guys instantly. You saw what Yamato was all about. I think his match with BB Hulk highlighted him perfectly. It highlighted BB perfectly. You saw what guys like Yoshino and Kid and Doi and Shingo were about, and those four guys kind of became entwined with each other over the next few shows, building to a tag match on the next Philly show, which I'd probably consider that tag match to be maybe my favorite match in DGUSA so far.
Yeah, that match was great. I mean, that match was just, like, you know, it was just everything that, like, I think the promotion had built up to, you know, to that point. And I think, like, just the people, the way the people reacted, I mean, obviously, you know, it was just a huge hit.
Yeah, it really was, and it came off, the sandwich between those two Philly shows was the Chicago show, which, the matches on the Chicago show, the top two matches got rave reviews, and people kind of were talking about that show differently than the first show, and a lot of people felt that the first show was more, like, well-rounded, really great.
Yeah, overall it was a better show.
Didn't
but
have
the show
the huge standout two matches like the Chicago show. I'd actually somewhat disagree with that, as I preferred a couple of matches on the first Philly show to the Davey Shingo match, and maybe even to the Danielson Doi match as well. But I think Doi versus Shingo from the first Philly show is really underrated. I think that's every bit as good as the two Chicago matches. But the Chicago show was awesome. Those two matches were insane to have both on the same show together. You just don't see two matches that good on a show very often.
Yeah.
And I think they really built up two markets nicely there. I know a lot of people have talked about as a problem for DGUSA in their first year was that they went a long time without running Philly. Like, I think They've only run Philly the two times, so that November show, the gap between that November show and this upcoming July show, a lot of people felt that was too big. Like, you could have fit one, maybe even two more shows in.
I thought that.
I think in hindsight, like, with how those Phoenix WrestleMania shows did, I think maybe, like, those, it would have been better if those shows were in, obviously, benefit of hindsight, I probably wouldn't have made this decision beforehand. I would have thought the Phoenix shows were a great idea, but I think they would have been better in Philly, because you have all the wrestling fans who would be hyped for WrestleMania weekend aren't able to go to wrestle, like, aren't able to make the big travel trip to get down to Phoenix. They might just be really excited about getting to go see awesome wrestling that weekend near.
Yeah, like, it's just a weekend that just gets you excited about wrestling.
Yeah,
I mean?
Exactly.
And you just want to go and just go to a live show. Like, there's nothing like going to a live show, you know?
Exactly.
Like, that would have been a great idea.
I know how excited I get about wrestling at WrestleMania weekend, and if there was all of a sudden an awesome show with Dragon Gate guys or indie guys or really like the day or the day before WrestleMania, it would be huge for me. It would be a really, really big deal. I'd be so stoked for it. So I think if they had done one or even two shows in Philly that weekend, it would have been perfect, and it would have broke up kind of the big gap between the November show and this upcoming.
I agree.
But so they kind of lost a bit of momentum as far as that. But would you agree that every show they've put on so far has been at the very worst very good? And
I totally agree. Like, I thought, like, maybe the worst show that they had so far was Fearless from January. But, like, you know what? Like, when you go back and think about it, like, it wasn't that bad.
That was BB Hulk against Kid, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. That show, yeah, I'd definitely say that was the weakest so far, but like you said, I don't think...
You know, like, if they ever do, like, one of those DVD deals or whatever, like, where you could toss that in for, like, $10, like, I mean, totally, pick it up.
And you'll probably get some good extra, I don't know exactly what the bonus matches were. That's one thing I want to talk about with TGUSA, I'll mention it now, is you get such good value for your money with those DVDs, because they put a lot of love into just the physical DVD and packaging itself, and you get these bonus discs which are just laced with just awesome stuff. I mean, the show that's coming out, I think it's the first night from Phoenix, the one that wasn't a pay-per-view, on the bonus disc for that is a world title match from Kirk and Hall between Naruki Doi and Yoshino, and if anyone hasn't seen that match and gets this DVD and that's just a bonus for them on the DVD, that's a hell of a bonus. Because I put that match up there with anything in DGUSA so far. It was insane. And, like, to be get, like, they have, Gabe's got access to all that Dragon Gate Japan stuff. He can put anything he wants on there. And there's so much good stuff to put on. It's like you're really getting a great deal. You're getting more than just one show when you pick up these DVDs, and I think it's a really smart move as far as, more so just the physical packaging and stuff, it's a really smart move to make that stuff really appealing to people, because in an age where it's so easy for people to get stuff onto their computer, making actual physical product something you want to have is
absolutely
a key thing, and I think it's a great idea, and from all indications, the DVD sales and merchandise sales on DGUSA have been, like, the strongest thing for the company so far. So, because we should talk about, like, the live attendance. Like, the first show really blew up.
Oh, it was
all
packed. It was packed, like, in the arena.
Do you know what it was like? It was like watching an ECW show from, like, 1998.
Yeah.
Like, I go back and watch some of those shows from the arena, and I'm like, Barely Legal. Like, I see Barely Legal, I'm like, that's the show, that's the arena I watch Chikara shows in.
Yeah, it's a completely different place.
It's like there's about, like, 20,000 people in there. And you never kind of get that on a lot of the US indie shows you see there. But on this show, although you couldn't really see it because it was so dark, but which is one thing I'd change with promotion. And all.
Yeah, I agree. I wish it was a little brighter in the arenas.
I hate dark arena shows. Like, I'd turn off, like, those lights completely and just let it be the regular house lights. But I digress.
Not to actually say something bad about DGUSA, but, I mean, I actually, the one thing I don't like about them is I think their video quality is kind of poor. Like, I mean, it's a little better if you watch it on DVD, but, like, when I got their first two pay-per-views, like, it was shit. Like, so I thought, like, maybe, like, I wonder if, like, if people, you know, hearing someone talk about, hey, you got to watch this, you know, Dragon Gate pay-per-view, and they put it on, and like, they see the video quality, like, I don't really know if they're going to keep watching it, you know what I mean, just for, like, a casual viewer anyway, you know?
And it's strange to me because I actually think Evolve has great video quality. I think the Evolve shows look awesome, and apparently it's the, like Gabe said, it's the exact same. So I don't know. I'm no expert in the subject, but it doesn't look the exact same to me. But I think the TGUSA ones have improved, and the Phoenix ones looks quite good. I think the arena while that they're in, it may have posed some logistical problems. I think it looked really good on TV, but I was just going to say about that first Philly show, like, you couldn't really see how packed the crowd was, like those old school ECW days, but you could certainly hear it. It was, like, electric. Like, there was, like, 800, 900 people in there. It was packed. But unfortunately, the attendances have dropped. We mentioned Phoenix being a bit of a disaster with running off at ROH, and they really didn't get good numbers to those Phoenix shows. And I don't think Canada was anything too special. Maybe the second night with the pay-per-view was all right, but I know the first night wasn't the best. So I think those were two experimental-type deals, going to Phoenix and going to Canada, and they probably learned that maybe that's not the best, and I think they'll probably focus more on Philly and Chicago going forward.
But yeah, it looks like they're going to the Northeast for a couple shows, too, I think, or at least for one show, anyway. I think they're going to Massachusetts.
Okay, yeah, that's because I don't really know my American geography perfectly, but from my wrestling watching, I know that, like, a lot of those Northeast shows, you can get people coming from Philly or people coming from everywhere. They're handy spots to have shows. But I think that this upcoming Philly show, I get the impression, while there's obviously not the buzz that there was a year ago, there is more of a buzz, and there will be more of a buzz when this show happens than there has been for really any show since that first one.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like, they really, like, are doing a good job, like, slowly building up to, like, announcing, like, all the matches, like, and everything happening, instead of, like, announcing them, you know, now, like, you know, at the end of June, and, like, having to wait, like, a whole month for the shows. I like how, like, they're doing, like, a slow build for it, and I think, like, once it's time for this weekend, I really think, like, people are just going to be, like, super pumped for these shows, because, I mean, there's no way that they're not going to deliver.
And we do have one match announced, and we got to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a few matches announced, but not, you know, the entire card.
Really? What other matches are in it? Oh, there's this Chikara tag, but they haven't announced participants yet.
Yeah, and Hulk and Mokuzuki.
Yeah, of course. But the match I'm referring to is pretty much, like, I don't think you could probably come up with some matches, like, dream matches that are as good or as appealing as this, but I don't think you can come up with anything that's better. Brian Danielson versus Shingo. Never happened before. Don't think they've ever crossed paths.
It never happened before.
Yeah, don't think there's ever been a tag they've been involved in or anything, which is unbelievable to me, to be honest. I almost think that if it's never happened before, why wasn't I, like...
Yeah, exactly.
Something I thought of, like, when Danielson went to the WWE, I wasn't like, oh, but he never had the Shingo match. I don't know why, because I feel like I should have been like that. And then this thing, I'm like, oh my god, this is going to be, this could just be the greatest thing ever. This could be match of the year, 5 stars, whatever you want to call it. These two guys are that good, and they haven't really wrestled too many guys like each other before, which I think really makes this interesting. What are your thoughts on it, Mike?
Like, when I first heard that was announced, I just thought, like, that was just maybe the perfect match, you know, just to have, like, on, like, your first anniversary show. Because, like, I think that's maybe the biggest match they've run up to this point, or up to that point. And, you know, I just think, like, Shingo has just been so good in so many matches, you know, that he's had in, you know, Dragon Gate so far. And, like, Danielson, like, being this guy, like, you know, we all know his past reputation, so, like, coming in and him and Shingo, it's just really going to be, like, an incredible match.
Yeah, it just, like, I'm seeing, like, Shingo throwing his crazy forearms and Danielson, like, doing his strikes. And
yeah, like, they're just going to beat the shit out of each other.
Oh, it's going to be nuts. And, I just, I this could be a really, really special match. I think if anyone has the opportunity to go to the show and doesn't go, I think they'll be really regretting it. When
there's no reason not to take Monday off and go to Philly this weekend.
I absolutely can't for various reasons, but if there was a weekend of wrestling that would draw me over to go to America, this is the one. Maybe aside from like going to a Battle of Los Angeles or something.
Oh yeah.
This is like the weekend with these three shows, and I think this would be the match for me as far as just being the marquee thing of the whole weekend. It's gonna be insane, and not to sell Mochizuki Hulk short, which I kind of already did, but that's going to be an insane match, because those guys have got some great chemistry with each other. I don't think they've had a singles match in Dragon Gate, or at least they haven't had one since BB has been kind of like a big star. He might have had ones when he was younger, but they've had a lot of tags against each other. I remember last year in the Summer Tag League, it was Hulk teaming with Yoshino and Mochizuki teaming with Katsuhiko Nakajima, and they had an absolutely awesome tag match. And Hulk and Mochi have been against each other in a lot of six-mans, and I'll be very, very interested to see if their chemistry they have in tags and six-mans will translate over to a singles match. I think it will. I don't think Hulk has had... I haven't seen Doi match yet from Phoenix or either of his Canada matches yet.
Yeah.
I think Hulk has yet to have a title defense that's kind of just really, really blown people away. And I think...
I like this match with Yokosuka in Japan. Like, I think it was like back in December. I think that might have been one of his first title defenses, I think. But
oh, yeah.
That match was great.
It was a good match, yeah. But I don't think he's reached that kind of the kind of level of like the Doi Shingo match from the first
show.
Or he hasn't really had that kind of like really incredible match of the year type title match. I thought it was a match with Yamato on the first show, which obviously wasn't for the title, but I thought that was an incredible
match. The match with Dragon Kid was alright, like at Fearless. It wasn't, you know.
It was a good
good.
Like I'd probably give it like some like 4 stars or something.
Yeah.
Like if you plop down the WWE pay per view, like I mean, come on, it'd be
absolutely.
But I
know what you're saying. Like there hasn't been like that like major title match.
Yeah.
Like Tyler and Davey from Saturday. Like, there hasn't been like that type of match.
Exactly, and I think BB this could be the one that he has it, because Mochizuki will. Well, he's just coming off a match in Japan against Yamato for the Japanese version of the title that was unreal, like top 3 matches a year so far for me, and I think he's in the form of his life right now in his waning years, which I'm sure he'd kick my ass if I said.
Yeah, how old is he?
I think he's probably about 40. He was around and very funnily enough, I was brought to my attention yesterday that someone found on like an old match lists on various on a DVD site that there was some random Fed back in like 1993 or 94 in Japan, and there was a match on the undercard between Masaaki Mochizuki back in his karate days against what was the name he used? I think it was Pete Tazzarella, and Pete Tazzarella was Pete Sinertia, Taz. Probably like back in his when he is dreadlocks and all that.
Human suplex machine.
Yeah. So Mochi has been around for a long ass time. He was.
There's a guy I work with. Like I just found out today. Like. He looks like Dawson from Dawson's Creek, and I always just see him around. Like, I always think like he's like in his late 20s, and like someone said today, he was like he just turned 48, and I'm like, what the fuck? So like that's crazy that like Mochizuki's like 40 and like still like, you know, I thought his match with Davey from that January show might have been the best match on that show. I thought that match was great.
He's like a heavy smoker as well. He's a big smoker, drinker, all that kind of stuff that a lot of Japanese guys like to do, and he's you wouldn't be able to tell in his work. He's like He hangs with all those guys. Like,
absolutely.
He specializes in kind of the more strikey kind of shoot style match, I guess, and he often will have that in his big singles matches and stuff. They're always great. But you plop him into like a six man with all those guys flying around, he hangs with them. Like, yeah. Move for move, he's never out of place. He's always there for everything. He can do it all in that promotion. He's a real key guy because he provides something different, and I think that's what makes Yamato so special as well at the moment, because Yamato kind of has a bit of that to him as well. And yeah, I think Mochizuki Hulk, I'm really excited for. And
yeah, like I'm not really gonna go into it with big expectations. You know what I mean? I'm just gonna go into it because, like, I honestly really haven't seen much of either guy. Like, I don't really watch like a lot of the overseas stuff except for. You know, I'll watch, like, Infinity every now and then. So, like, I'm just really looking forward to it. Like, I'm just, you know, going to an open mind, and I think it's going to be good.
The other match signed we mentioned just a few minutes ago was there'll be the Chikara versus, Chikara Sekigun versus Kamikaze USA multi-man match. I don't know if it's going to be elimination, how many guys are going to be in it. None of that's been announced yet. But it's been built up pretty much since the first show. I've liked the angle overall in theory, and on paper I've thought some of the stuff they've done with it on the shows, like I saw the footage from the Kanda shows, and I really didn't like the promos that like Quack and Jigsaw cut. I thought,
yeah.
I know, I just, they're like, I we've had Jigsaw on the show and he's so charismatic and like so really engaging, funny guy, and just, he's a great talker, but I know if it's what he's being told to say or what, but when he comes, does those kind of promos.
He's not himself.
He's not himself. It's just, it comes across forced. And, yeah. Like, some people like Quack's promos. I hate Quack's promos. I think they're the worst.
They're
the worst thing in the world. I guess he's, like, doing a kind of, 50.
He's a good guy, like, that, you know, like, Batman. Playing it, like, at the end of every.
Yeah.
You know,
it's. He's like, we will get our vengeance, and da da da. Oh yeah, okay, it's really corny, but I didn't really like those promos. I thought, like, when they were getting beat down, it was it just didn't seem like that intense of a beat down. Like, they were just kind of like stomping on them and kind of posing and stomping a bit more. It was like, I want to see them really fuck them up, you know, like really build the heat for. That's, I think that's like I really like this angle on paper. I like all the guys in it. I like how it's gone, but I just don't think they've really built the heat up on enough. I just don't think that.
I think it's gonna get over huge though, because Quack's huge in Philly, so I just think, like, no matter, you know, I think this is a match where, like, maybe you don't really need to focus like all the angle on it, because I think it's kind of gonna just build itself, because, like, I think there's gonna be people going just specifically for this match, so I think it's gonna be pretty good.
Ask you one final question on this show. Which match do you put as the main event? Do you go with Danielson Shingo? Do you go with the title match, or do you go with the one that's had the storyline in the Chikara match?
I think you'd always just put the title match as the main event, no matter. Like, and, you know, I know this is like a really big, you know, main event with Danielson and Shingo, but I think I'd put the title match on last just because it's the title match. But I honestly though. Now that I say it out loud, maybe I'd put Danielson Shingo, because I don't think that the title match would top it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so I
think
you might just want to put on what you think is going to be the best match at the end, because you'll burn out the crowd.
Yeah,
if you do it the other way around. So
I think you're putting Hulk and Mochi in a tough position if you put them on.
Yeah, it's going to be hot in that building. You know what I mean? It's the, you know, end of July, so
sure.
It's going to be, you know, really hot. And I think, like, people are going to be, like, anxious to leave, I think, maybe, if you would put the title match. So, like,
if there are any other circumstances, I definitely think title match, it should go on last, big anniversary show, definitely. But I think just Danielson versus Shingo is not your everyday match, so.
Yeah, you're right.
But then again, we could be totally wrong, and the main event could be Super Shenlong versus Adam Cole.
I hope it's Adam Cole versus Rich Swann, personally.
Rich Swann, when we talk about CZW, I want to mention that guy. Recently, I like him. So, any other thoughts on DGUSA? Either what you've seen, what you hope to see coming from a promotion, what you're excited to see, anything at all, Mike?
they just announced Drake Younger for the Philly show, so I'm pretty pumped for that. So.
Yeah, Drake.
I think he'd be good. I think he'll be good. I think Ricochet. I like all like the how they're having like a young little, you know, core of like the young flippy guys like in the undercard. So I'm kind of glad that that's why they're bringing in Ricochet. They're bringing in Rich Swann. I think he'll be good.
I really want Ricochet to get a tour of Dragon Gate. Not because I think he'll do amazing stuff over there, but I think he'll come back from it and just be so much better. He's a guy that just has so much talent and ability, and he just needs that kind of
I agree.
What's the word?
He has like all the, you know, all the tools. He just needs like someone just like put it together.
He's the perfect example of what the Young Bucks were before they went to Japan, what Jack Evans was before he went to Japan, what Matt Sydal was, what, maybe not Generico so much, but all those guys before they go, polished, that's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Go over to Dragon Gate, you wrestle every fucking day, you get in the bus, you wrestle again, you get in the bus, you wrestle again, and then you come home a month or two later. It happened. It's happened to all those guys. I just saw it firsthand happen to a wrestler from the UK called Mark Haskins. He impressed them on the show I was at in November. He went on the tour in February, came back. I saw him again live in April, and I was like, oh my God.
Like a completely different wrestler.
A completely new wrestler. All the locals that were at that show to see him all the time were like, oh my God, he's gotten so good. And I was just saying to people, he went a tour of Dragon Gate. That's what happens.
I think Jigsaw mentioned that on his Figure 4 Daily or something like that. I think Jigsaw would be another great example to take.
I actually think Jigsaw is quite polished, but I think he'd benefit just because
he'd go on the next level, I think.
Yeah. And it's those, it's just what happens. And Mark Haskins, he's been putting another tour. He's been over there since, I think, like early May, and he's going to be over there until their pay-per-view in July. Like, it's going to be 2.5 months.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fucking freak show when, like, he comes back from that. And he's going to be, like, highlighted big time on the Dragon Gate UK shows. You got him and Pac on those. And, like, he's that kid's ever going to be every bit as good as Pac. Like,
that's awesome.
He's so good, and like that's what those tours do to you, and I really hope some guys that are on these DGUSA shows get the chance. What I think's a real shame is that the Wrestle Jam tours seem to have ended in Dragon Gate, because while those shows, like, they were really, really fun shows, like, I mean, they didn't produce, like, your high-end Dragon Gate stuff that you really look at the end of the year and think that was like the best stuff in Dragon Gate this year. But they were really fun shows. The main great thing about them though was that it got loads of, like, you got Human Tornado going over there, Austin Aries, Roderick Strong, all these kind of random names, and like Jack Evans, and like
that's Austin Aries was even over there.
Yeah, that's where a lot of those guys like Pac, Jack, Generico. That's where they got to impress the Dragon Gate people enough that they got actual more longer term tours that really sort of improve. And I saw it as a really nice foot in the door, because it was like they're gonna take maybe 9-10 guys and bring them over, and it's just it's a lot of guys getting chances. I think it's a really cool thing. So it would be perfect now with all these guys that are wrestling on the same shows as the Dragon Gate guys, both in the US and in the UK, and but I get the impression that sooner or later there's going to be some guys going over on tours, and Jigsaw would be a great one.
Yeah.
Ricochet, as I mentioned, I think would be the perfect
nightmare.
Frightmare, Jesus Christ. Like, look how good he is after a year. And
yeah, exactly.
There's the transition to move on to our final topic.
Yeah, there we go, perfect.
Hey, Chikara. It's been a great year for Chikara. I think a lot of people were very quietly, exactly. A lot of people have kind of got the impression that things are kind of, Chikara's not popular anymore or whatever, but maybe it's not talked about to the extent it was on the internet. But honestly, God bless Dan. We all love Dan, of course.
Yeah, it's because Dan doesn't watch it anymore.
And like 90% of the talk about Chikara was Dan. So
yeah.
play that, it's like, yeah, this doesn't seem like there's as much Chikara talk anymore. But I think, like, if you watch the shows, like, they're still getting big attendances, like, for Chikara's size anyway. They're getting big attendances, hot crowds. King of Trios, I just finished, like, in the last week or two. Like, those were some awesome shows. And
I didn't get the chance to make it to King of Trios, but I heard, like, I heard the place was packed.
Have you seen the DVDs yet?
I have, and I have them right next to my television.
You are going to love those DVDs. They are
The covers look really nice, but, I mean, I haven't, you know, watched the actual DVDs themselves yet, but I'm very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, you're going to freak out when you see some of the stuff on them. They were great, but what I think you did see was a show right before King of Trios, an Eastern show, which really snuck up on me because I hate the Eastern shows. I always have. I think the crowd in Eastern is like...
I hate that building.
Before I saw a CZW show, which we're going to talk about soon, that Eastern crowd was my most hated crowd in wrestling because... not because they weren't nice people, which I would say about CCW crowd, because they were all...
very nice people. There was Stony Hippie Grandpa was in the front row.
Yeah, whereas the CCW crowd, I think there was a lot of assholes. Whereas the Chikara show, it's just people who very kind of... they don't really get into the show too much. They kind of sit there, maybe arms crossed a little bit, maybe just kind of... not reacting too much, and it kind of drives me nuts, because I'm much more of the, aside from like a lot of the chanting, but like the WXW style crowd, or my cup of tea, where it's just people absolutely losing their mind for 3.5 hours straight, with, like, I'm a pretty crazy wrestling fan. If you see me at live shows, I tend to go quite nuts, and it's, people have said it's quite the sight to see, but,
that's why you gotta come over here.
I was at those WXW shows, and I was topped by like everyone there. I was like, I couldn't keep up with those guys. And girls, like, you get loads of women at those WXW shows freaking out. I really like the. It's like the whole crowd is like 18 to 25 year old males and females. It's such a
It's a completely different crowd like than you'll see like at a lot of other shows.
Yeah, and it's like a real hip thing to be at, and like you're getting like a freakishly large amount of hot girls, like hot German girls at these shows. It's quite the nice bonus to being at an indie wrestling show. But
when they had the show in March at the arena, like, I guess they all stayed for the CZW show that night, and I was sitting in the bleachers like one row below where like all of like the German girls that came over were all sitting, and like they were all just so hot and good looking. I was like, it was just, they kind of like stuck out, like, you know, in the crowd a little bit, you know?
Not your standard ECW arena fare, no?
Yeah, not at all.
The Eastern shows, back to that, like, I never really liked those crowds. It always took from the shows to me. A classic example, there was a match with Quack.
Teaching Cloudy, is that what you're going to say?
Yeah, Quack and someone was Jicks. Quack and Jicks against Teaching Cloudy from about a year ago. They had this amazing match. They're the coolest shit ever, and it got no reaction from the opening bell to the closing bell. And then when the 3 count went, everyone stood up and started giving a big round of applause, standing ovation. I'm thinking, you couldn't have made some of that noise during if you're so appreciative. It just seemed a really sort of
at least clap
fake.
You know, I just clap. I mean, I don't go and chant, you know, when I go to the shows. But like, if it's something good, I'll clap and I'll make some sort of noise. You know,
don't need to chant, but like just like oohs and ahs and claps and just maybe jump up and down a little, just like whatever. Just get into it, and it's like I when they were like giving that standing ovation, I was like, I can't help but think this is really phony and fake, and kind of they're just doing it because it's so showing respect. Because I mean, if you're really appreciative and really into it, you would have been making noise kind of off the cuff earlier. But I know
there was like 4 spots in that match where like that deserved the standing ovation. You know what I mean? But like that's funny that you mentioned that match, because that's the same example I was going to use.
Yeah, but for whatever reason, they come and do this show in, was it February or March? I think it was March. And it's like they either took out everyone that used to go to the Eastern shows and replaced them with the WXW crowd, or they took them or they used the same fans, but spiked their food or whatever with Coke. I don't know how that would work.
Yeah.
but they all got them high and got them going nuts, and they were a great crowd on this show for every match. Like, it was ridiculous, and every match delivered in a different way. It was such a great.
It might have been that what Loudon and like Aries and Claudio coming in, like that, like really set them off. I think because like then from that moment forward, you know.
They did a really heated angle with the BDK there to start, and then it kind of it built from. I think the first two matches were both BDK matches, so you carried the heat going forward, and then you got a match with like the unstable
Tursas and Green Ant.
Oh yeah, Tursas and Green Ant was like the
that
great.
That match was great.
Big
Green
match.
Ant is like Green Ant is so good. Like I know he's just like a rookie, and like he's really not having like these great technical matches, but like every match he's been in so far, like this year, from like the Pinky Sanchez match in January, this match, and he had another match I think like on the next night too, like he was just so good.
If that kid doesn't watch Japanese wrestling, or I'll be shocked, because he just seems like he just has watched so much of that kind of stuff that he just knows like when to fire up, when to just really be showing sympathy, showing that you're getting your ass kicked, when to like no sell something, when to just slap a guy in the face. He may not be like technically perfect yet, but
yeah.
He's got a real just inherent sense of when to do things, and it's really impressive. And he does a great job of getting the credit for his matches. When the Workaround went away, I was kind of really starting to like Workaround, and when he went away and they replaced him with Green Ant, I was like, oh, this is kind of a real setback. You just kind of take...
Yeah, it's like how the promotion was... Yeah, like in, like, 2004, yeah.
It's kind of like one guy is, like, developed, and he's got to this point where he's quite good, and now all of a sudden he's taken away and replaced by someone who's starting from scratch. And I was they feel that Green Ant, and he's kind of, like, rail thin and, like, pale, and like, okay.
Yeah.
This guy is just so straight out of the school. They threw a Green Ant.
Not very charismatic.
Yeah, and then you start, then all of a sudden you start seeing him having these matches, and it's like, oh my god, this guy, and like, the scrawniness and the paleness is part of the charm now. He's like, he's still Green Ant, like, he's still green, but
he's still that young guy, but like, he's coming along, like, that's what I really like about him.
Yeah, he's brilliant, and you got other matches in that show, like, the Unstable having, like, their best match ever. And
I thought that was both guys' best match ever. Like, I thought that match was so good, and like Ophidian and Amasis were really good too. Like, that match was really, really fun.
Yeah, it was a real good tag match, just out of nowhere, and the fans were reacting like it was this crazy match they just didn't expect to be so good.
Yeah.
It was so good, and they were doing like
that made the match better.
Finn Gerard doing these crazy dives and stuff, and the crowd was like, "Holy shit, Finn Gerard's doing a dive!" It was.
Yeah.
Just the reactions were great, and I think then you got like an 8-man tag, I think, which was my favorite match in the show. It was just really, really awesome. You got the angle of 2.0 turning into 3.0.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah, that was like the mic work on that was so good. Have you seen any of the 3.0 stuff from after that?
I think I watched the next night.
Oh yeah,
I
don't think I saw the next night. What was was there anything worth seeing on that?
I'm pulling it up right now on SmartMark because SmartMark's having a everybody, if you're listening, SmartMark's having a 30% off sale, so buy a lot of DVDs.
Yep, well, absolutely.
Let's see, 3.0 fought the Order of the Neo Solar Temple at the Connecticut show the next night, and I thought it was good. Like, they played that role really good, and I guess what happens is, like, they're still 2.0 right now, and, like, I guess they need to get some wins. So they could be 3.0, so they could get new gear. But it's pretty good. Like, I'm digging it so far.
Yeah, nice little undercard story. And it would have been nice if they were on King of Trio, since those are kind of shows.
Yeah, you figure they would have
seen by a lot of people. Would have got the angle over a bit more, but oh well. I suppose the main thing going on in Chikara this year is BDK, and so a lot of conflicting thoughts on BDK from various people. But I think overall it has to be seen as a success. When you see when you see their reactions it's getting at live shows, I don't know, maybe it's killing DVD sales for all I know, but I wouldn't have thought so. So I'm just going by what I'm seeing on the live shows, and I'm seeing those guys getting crazy heel heat and having really good matches, like all combinations, like the combinations, like
a lot of different styles.
Yeah, it's like I really like the B team, I guess you could call them, with Pinky and Lindsay. I think Lindsay as a heel is a revelation. I absolutely adore Lindsay as a heel. He's got this great cocky swagger about him. I really like how a lot of the members are like have got that kind of intense Nazi crazy guy thing going for them.
Yeah. But
Lindsay is just this cocky little motherfucker. He's not doing any of that shit. Like he's not like the stern, like Claudio and like Ares are all stern and
Pinky's crazy.
Pinky's crazy. He's like the wild card, but Lindsay is just this cocky, arrogant Hispanic guy. it's great. I love it. Tim Donce, a lot of people are pretty high on Tim Donce now. They think he's doing really well as a heel. Still, something about him isn't clicking with me. But I will say he had his match with Dasher Hatfield on that Easton show. Like, they did a real great job of getting the crowd into that match.
I like his promos.
Yeah, his promos are getting pretty good.
You're either gonna like him or you're not gonna like him, I guess.
Sometimes, you know? I think he's like. It comes across like, hey, I'm trying to be a heel a bit too much in his promos. It just doesn't seem 100% natural to me. Not so much like the Jigsaw thing I talked about earlier. It's not quite like that. But and he's getting better in the ring too. So, and I think the he'll be wrestling Danielson. That's one thing we absolutely got to mention as far as what's upcoming for Shikara.
Oh yeah, this weekend.
Coming in this weekend. Where are those shows? They're like in.
Taylor, I haven't pulled up here. Taylor, Michigan, and let's see, Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay, so that's gonna be big.
So if you're in those areas,
the first Bryan Danielson matches from his release, makes me wonder. Like, all these promotions are, I'm sure Danielson's not coming cheap. I would think his price has got to be more than it was when he left the Indies, and I mean, Chikara only used them the one time, so I guess a lot of these promoters are hoping that he's going to be a huge draw at their shows, because I doubt he's coming too cheap. So, but he's
I wonder if ticket sales were slow that they had, that's why they added him. But I don't know. I think it'll be good. Hopefully, people turn out for it.
I don't want to divert onto Danielson just yet, because I haven't really got your thoughts about BDK. I've ranted on about them. So, what do you think about the storyline, where it's going, and all that good stuff?
Well, to me, like, that angle, I don't want to say it peaked, but, like, it really got off on, like, just such a great foot, like, at that November arena show, like, the season finale, because, like, that angle was just so good. Like, it was just, like, one of those moments live that, like, I was just buzzed about it for, like, weeks. Like, it was just such a good angle. And then I think from there, like, you know, they had that asshole ring announcer who I actually like, and I think they have kind of annoying theme song, but I don't know, I can kind of get past that, but I think that the BDK angle has been nothing but good for Chikara so far, so, like, I really don't understand why people are kind of, you know, not liking it, but I think it's been really good.
I get the sense that a lot of people who aren't liking it aren't watching it.
Yeah.
Because,
I mean, it's one of those things, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but, like, it's one of those things where, you know, I think, like, if you read it online and you read it on a message board, like, it doesn't, you know, might not sound that great, but, like, if you actually watch it, you know, sit down and watch it on video, like, it makes sense and it's really good.
Yeah, like, I can say what I just said because before I watched any of this stuff, I wasn't too enamored with it, and then I started watching it and I was like, this is really, really good shit, and the matches have been, like, as I said, like, the matches have all been very good, and they benefit from having, especially with, like, the kids and stuff in the crowd, they have really great legitimate heat. I think it's going to be a real big deal, and they're setting up all these things that are going to happen down the lines that are going to be a really big deal. Terce is getting knocked off his feet for the first time. Like, they played it up loud, playing a trio. It was like, did he, no one had knocked him off his feet, and people would try. Daisuke
Eddie and Claudio one-on-one again.
Eddie had a great interview kind of to lead to that sometime down the line, which they did a great job, like, making it so you want to see that match again, because last year, those guys wrestled each other so much, you're like, that match again. Now, like, I'm dying to see those guys finally wrestle. I hope it's like a big main event on a big show. I'm assuming Cibernetico, since there's like 8 BDK people, like, I think it's a lock that Cibernetico will be eight technical guys against them. You've got the Mantis storyline, which I know a lot of those goofy Chikara storylines involving like Mandalorian and shit kind of are over my head, but I still kind of am interested in seeing like what is going to happen with Ultramanus as a character and a wrestler. Like, he's a very interesting character to me on the shows. I just love the kind of gimmickry to his storylines are a bit beyond me, but
like with the BDK, like, there's just more clearly defined faces and heels, you know what I mean? Like, because like last year you would watch a Chikara show and it would just more just be a good match. Like, I think now with the BDK, like, it's there's more meaning to the matches than just throwing out just a match.
Yeah, and there's great guys to play off them, like Frightmare, the Osirian Portal, Quack, of course.
He did that insane move.
Yeah.
I mean, that just was nuts.
You got Hala Wicked, you got all these guys that are just so good, and then you've got the guys that kind of aren't involved that are always, like, will always deliver. You got Chuck Taylor, and that's something I want to mention. The big show that we talked about in July, Chikarasaurus Rex, I think maybe there's more matches to sign, but the one thing I know about it is a 6-man tag availing of the Dragon Gate guys being in that weekend. It will be Seema, Dragon Kid, and Mochizuki against Chuck Taylor, Ikaris, Nakuma, Fist. And that match, I think, is going to be out of this world. Mochizuki beating the shit out of Chuck Taylor and those guys is, oh my god.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing. I can hear Chuck Taylor screaming now.
That match is going to be just, I think that match is just going to be awesome.
Yeah, because, trust me, when you see Fist against Team Osaka Pro, you're going to think it's going to be even more awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It's that.
I heard how good it is, you know.
That match and the Big Japan matches on King of Trios were out of this world. And the finals as well. The finals are really heated. Wait till you see Green Ant in the final. My god, like, he takes it to another level as far as what we were talking about earlier.
Awesome.
Is there anything else you want to talk about in Chikara?
I guess we could just, real quick, I mean, obviously I'm sure once the show gets more closer, you're probably going to have, you know, guys from this promotion on, but I guess they're also bringing in Tommy Dreamer, which I think really, I don't know, I think that's like kind of like a weird person to bring in Chikara, but then again, I think it's awesome because it makes so much sense that, you know, it's the old ECW arena, you know, and it's him and Kingston coming in to fight the BDK, like, as we said, like, you know, I think it's going to be a really, really good match in, like,
They're doing that in Chikarasaurus Rex, are they?
Yes.
And Kingston. Okay, yeah, very good. So
Raisha Saeed.
Yeah. We'll talk about that in a second. I just want to ask, did they do the Dreamer-Kingston singles match already then, yeah?
Yeah, that was at that, the show in New York. The aforementioned Ace Arena, I guess.
Oh, really? All right. Okay, so that's already available then, Smart Market.
Yes.
Okay, that's cool. What was I going to say?
Raisha Saeed, Alyssa Flash.
We'll just talk about that since I forget what I was going to say. So go for it.
Oh no, I just Sarah Del Rey and Daisy versus Amazing Kong and Raisha Saeed is the last match announced so far. So I think that should be another, you know, good match. I'm not too into women's wrestling, but I think all four of those are, you know, really good, you know, good workers. You know, I mean, just so happens that they're women, but I think, you know, Sarah's awesome and Raisha Saeed and Kong are gonna be really good too. So I think it's gonna be a fun match.
Sarah and Daisy have done a tremendous job because I want to see them get their ass kicked so bad. When Halloween had kicked Sarah in the face at King of Trios, I was very happy.
Oh, yeah.
It made me feel quite dirty.
again, like, you know, if you see on paper Sarah Del Rey and Daisy Hayes fighting, you know, Ophidian and Amasis, like, you're going to think, like, that's such shit. Like, you know, these two girls fighting these guys, it sounds ridiculous, it's stupid. And then you go and watch it, and it's awesome. So, I mean, I think they've been doing a great job.
Yeah, it's like Sarah's, like, twice the size of both of those guys. And yeah, they're, like, the same size as Daisy, pretty much. It's like, Daisy Hayes, like, you can buy her giving a German suplex to those guys.
Yeah.
And she has a sweet German suplex, I'll say that. So, yeah, that's the big show coming up. And they've got, of course, the two Midwest shows before that. So, Chikara, in a very, very good position at the moment. I'm quite looking forward to it. Quite looking forward to watching more of it, I should say. And I think we've got one little bit more to talk about. We've got CZW, JPW, anything else you want to talk
about? Yeah, I was going to say, but we're just going to do a real quick, rundown. But, like, if someone, I guess, you know, has watched ROH, I'm sure you're going to be talking about ROH on another one of these. And, you know, all these other indies that we've just been talking about now. But, like, if you're maybe looking for something different, CZW's been really good this year. Jersey All-Pro, they actually have a really good show called Wildcard 6. It has the Young Bucks, As Generation Me, against Teddy Hart and Jack Evans. Just an awesome match. Dan Moff versus Brody Lee in, like, this main event, like, brawl around the building style. Really, really friggin' fun brawl. So, like, that's just a really good show.
WWE brawls are really, really cool.
Oh, yeah, they are just... I mean, I really think, like, that might be, like, one of the most underrated things in indie wrestling right now are these JPW brawls. Because there was actually a few brawls on that show. I think there was another one with Dan Moff and somebody, I forget what it was at the moment, but that was another really fun one. Drake and Nick Gage actually fought on that same show, too, in a crowd brawl. And Sarah Del Rey, speaking of Sarah Del Rey, she fought Haley Hatred, like, in this brawl around the building, and it was just awesome, just an awesome match. Like, I really, really advise people to go check that show out, because it was really good.
Yeah. I've seen one JPW show this year, and overall, I quite liked it. And from what I've read about the things going on, there's some good stuff there, and it's definitely a promotion worth checking out. Where can people get JPW? It's not on Smart Mark Video, is it?
Yeah, I think they just got to go to their website, just to Google Jersey All Pro Wrestling. I think it's JPW.com or .net.
Yeah,
one
yeah.
So
you check
it out.
And Monster Mask.
JPW. You got to talk about CZW now. I guess I heard you watched it.
Yeah, I watched one show. I think it was called Swinging for Defense. Now, I've been hearing about how CZW is kind of like taking like a new kind of direction. There's all these good young wrestlers coming through.
Yeah.
And there wasn't so much of the deathmatch stuff, and it was going along pretty nicely, and there was a lot of guys worth seeing, and there was a lot of guys who have been seeing on things like Evolve and stuff who I've liked, and hearing they're doing good things in CZW. So I was like, I want to check this out. Check out, like, what John Moxley, which is funny, we've been doing a show at Chikara DGUSA and Evolve. This is the first mention of John Moxley.
Oh, I know, how?
Which,
he's just been awesome this year, too.
He's been, like, a key guy at all promotions.
And that's one reason I'm really happy, you know, I really tell people, you know, check out CZW too, because Moxley's the champion. He's had some really good matches. He had a really good match with Sammy. He had a great match with Nick Gage on that March doubleheader that they did with WXW. And I think he had when he won the title from B-Boy. I mean, it was an all right match, but I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Been a good reason to check out CZW.
I decided to check out this show, Swinging for Defenses. I saw the card, and it was a lot of the guys I like, and the matches looked appealing and stuff. So, I got this show and started watching, and the first match was triple threat between Arbo and Andy and A.R. Fox.
A.R. Fox. Yeah.
Arbo and Andy were those two guys who Rob Naylor got on the first Drag USA show, and they were in the fray, and they didn't have the best of times in the fray.
No, not really.
I was like, ugh, okay, and then they come out in this match with this guy, A.R. Fox.
They actually had a match in February.
Yeah.
The anniversary show, and that is, I think that match is a million times better than this match. I thought this match was pretty good, too, the Swinging for the Fences matches.
Only the first one, if it's better, because I really enjoyed this, and I thought all three guys were I thought AR Fox was the star, but the other two guys who I'd seen in DGUSA, they really kind of...
They were like completely new wrestlers too, because I think they looked like a lot better. They looked a lot more relaxed too. I think they were a little nervous for that. Drag gate.
It hit everything on point. They were doing some complicated shit, but Aor Fox just took, like, he was great Sasuke levels.
He did maybe like one of the most insane dives you're gonna see all year any promotion.
God, it was nuts. But that was a really great little opener, and the crowd were pretty into it. It was good.
Yeah.
Then, the rest of the show, there was...
Rich Swann, we gotta talk about Rich Swann, by the way. You said you wanted to talk about
I will mention Rich Swann in a second. Now, all these guys on the show that I was expecting to be good and looked forward to seeing, they were all good. There was lots of good matches throughout the show. But overall, I was left with a really sour taste in my mouth watching this. And not because of anything that happened inside the ring, but because the crowd was... the worst crowd I've ever seen at a wrestling show. These fuckers were the biggest assholes ever, and it seemed like everyone. It wasn't like just a handful of annoying hecklers. It seemed like the whole goddamn crowd. You could probably count on people who weren't just there to be assholes. It was get over, like, I don't know, you live in Philadelphia.
I live in Philadelphia, like every time I try to like
reputation, like I always hear, like I watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, like you get the impersonations, like the friendliest, it's like a lot of people who like the shit about other people, and
I'm a Flyers fan, everyone hates Flyers fans. They all wanted us to lose the cup because we're from Philadelphia, and these fuckers at CZW are one of the reasons why.
This was like the personification of every Philadelphia stereotype I've ever heard on this show. There was a match, the real match which drove it home was, there had been some stuff earlier in the card with, like, there were some good tag matches where, like, the guys were trying some complicated stuff and, like,
Team Action, Zero Gravity, shout out to them.
Those guys were good, I liked them, but they do something that maybe it might have just not gone perfectly. And the crowd seemed so excited to start shitting on these guys. Like, they had been enjoying the match and enjoying what the guys had been doing for them, and then they were excited to piss on them.
The moment they fuck up, just
I couldn't understand it. But then the real match was driven home was Adam Cole, a guy we've talked about a few times in the show, who's a real good young wrestler against Sabian, a staple of CZW at this point. They had a real good, solid 20-minute time limit draw, kind of undercard title match. I think it was for their junior heavyweight title, so it was like your non-world title match, which was real, real good. Like, technically sound match. Like, nothing was fucked up in this.
It was it wasn't the greatest match, but it was just a very good match. Like, you know what I mean? It was nothing that, like, when it was over with, you felt like you were wasting your time watching.
Exactly, but because it wasn't, I don't know, because it wasn't guys killing each other, or wasn't guys doing completely insane things, the crowd turned on this match like never seen a match get turned on before. The saddest thing was when
I felt so bad for both of them.
When they were, I can't remember if they're about outside the ring or they were doing a double down inside the ring, but the crowd fast counted along a 10 count and then cheered when they got to 10. Yeah. As if the match would be over. I couldn't believe it. And it was real sad. But
And then when the time limit expired, they all stood up and like cheered and stuff like that the match was over.
CZW should, I don't know how it would work. Maybe it would be a huge failure, but like part of me thinks they should just go somewhere that isn't CW Arena and
Well, they actually are. They actually did a show in Indiana earlier this year. I think they're going to North Carolina in July or August. I'm not really sure where, but I guess they're kind of branching out a little bit. And I really think like that's a great idea because, I think a lot of those shows would be a lot more enjoyable if the crowd was, you know, a lot more into it. And I mean, you could say whatever you want about the arena fans in Philly. I mean, they're going to watch wrestling, and how they watch wrestling is, how they're going to react to it. But, like, I just don't think that the style of wrestling that, like, Adam Cole or AR Fox, I mean, even though they do cheer AR Fox a little bit, but, like, I think there's a different audience to enjoy that style of wrestling.
The most over guy on the show by absolute leaps and bounds.
Nick Gage. Nick fucking Gage.
Who was shit. Like, I'm sorry, he's not very good.
You didn't like him?
No, like, I remember...
I like Nick Gage.
I had seen Nick Gage match, like, years and years ago. I don't really remember him. I know the name, like...
He was in ROH at one time, too, I think.
Was he?
Yeah, he did, like, a pre-show for, like, one of those, like, the shows at the Rexplex, in Elizabeth, whatever, I think.
Well,
I remember he did one of those.
He's a name I've always heard about, and I've seen him in a few matches, just kind of didn't really remember. So this was, maybe I'm being unfair to only base it on this one match that I saw on this show, but like, yeah, he didn't really strike me as all that great. And the crowd love him and don't care for anything that isn't him.
Was he a heel? Huge.
I couldn't work it out. He had this heel manager on the outside, he was working as a heel.
He's just this badass. Like, I mean, he's just who he is, I guess. You know, I mean, he's just like this heel in real life, and like he's more bigger than Goldberg and Steve Austin combined to those CZW fans, you know?
The funniest thing I saw though was after like Nick Gage had like lost his match and was cursing and everyone was chanting Nick fucking Gage, and it was just the most like hostile thing ever. He's going back up the ramp and he's spitting and spewing, and this little girl like tugs on his arm and goes, "I love you, Nick fucking Gage."
Oh man,
it was so like 7 years old. It was what the fuck.
Oh Jesus.
It was so, all right, she might have said, "You're the man, Nick fucking Gage." I was like, oh, you shouldn't be using words like that, little girl. But
yeah, Nick Gage fought Ego on that show, too,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, that's the thing, because I really like Ego.
That's too, yeah, Ego is awesome.
The crowd were shitting on him because he was wrestling Nick Gage, and, like, Ego was making babyface comebacks, and they were like, fuck you. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, that's why I really want to see Ego, like, an Evolve or Dragon Gate or something like that. Maybe, like, he'd be another great guy for, like, that undercard.
Big guy.
Like, ROH.
He's a really big guy. I heard he's...
Yeah, he's real, like, real tall.
Wasn't he in Developmental, I heard, and... Didn't like.
I don't know. Maybe he was. I'm not really.
I can't imagine how a guy like him would be in Developmental and look kind of not naked, considering you see what he's like as a wrestler and kind of what some of the guys come up out of FCW are not like.
Well, I mean, that Claudio's still in the Indies, that means that nothing really surprises me, you know, because like he's the guy above anyone else.
Claudio never even got to actually like work in Developmental.
Yeah.
Got to see how good he was. Like,
wasn't Kenny Omega in Developmental?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Kenny Omega was in, actually Ego might have been here too. They were victims of being in I completely forgot.
Oh, and it killed Wildside. That's why I hate it.
But Deep South, that was the promotion
that they were
in, and it was just sounding like the biggest shambles ever. That fucking Nick Patrick's dad, that old guy, and Bill DeMott fucking being a prick. I hate Bill DeMott. Bill DeMott's one of my most... Bill DeMott and Bubba Ray Dudley are like...
And Al Snow.
Although I will say, Bill DeMott and Velocity commentary with Josh Matthews is one of my favorite things ever, so it's a bit of a dichotomy going on there. But, it's...
I was a Dungeon of Doom fan, so I guess I kind of like Hugh Morris.
Yeah, so that was pretty much my thoughts on the CZW show, but I want to stress that, like, if you're good at blocking out crowds and outside the ring stuff, like... It was, the guys on it are really good, and the wrestling's good, so...
Play a Siege during while you're watching it or something like that. You could have your own, like, S.A. Rios random goodness video, you know, just play some music over it.
Pipe in crowd noise from, like, a good wrestling crowd or something. I'd really like to hear that they do some shows that don't get that kind of crowd reaction, because I'd like to check them out, because I was impressed with a lot of the guys. Not only the guys who I was excited to see going in, but there were guys I hadn't heard about, like the guys in the tag we mentioned before, Zero Gravity and Team Action, like, and Rich Swann, there we go, we'll talk about...
Yeah, like, that's why I'm happy, like, Rich Swann's going to Evolve, like, you know, Adam Cole, like, I wish, like, they would go, I wish Zero Gravity would go to Evolve, Tyler Veritas, he's another guy I don't think we mentioned yet, but he's really good, too.
Rich Swann I saw twice in about the span of a week. It was the first time I saw him on that CZW show, and I saw him at King of Trios, and he does a standing 450, which is craziest thing ever. He like does this hop. He like starts going hop.
Yeah, I love it. I love that.
It's nuts. But he's real. He seems like a really good flyer with a really good base to him. So
And he's young too, so he's only gonna get better.
Yeah, yeah. What age is he? Like early 20s?
I don't know, but he just seems like he's really young. All the
guys are pretty young, so but yeah. He had a good partner as well. He's in a team
Ryan McBride.
Irish Drive-By, and they were quite good. Like when they came out, like I saw the Swan Chikara match first, so and I was impressed with him there. So when they came out, like he was the guy I wanted to see, but the other guy wasn't too bad either. Like he didn't seem to be the most charismatic guy in the world, but he seemed like a good enough wrestler, that lad.
Yeah, he's good.
So.
And he's Irish too, so there you go, Alan.
Is he like actually Irish or just like Boston Irish?
I think probably just Boston Irish. He does use that Dropkick Murphys song like everybody else.
Yeah. What's Rich Swann's association with the widows over here?
I don't know. No, that he's the drive-by part.
Oh.
I guess because he's black and he's from he's from Philadelphia, but.
I get it. That's good. Yeah.
I didn't come up with the name.
I like it. It's a good name. But that's thoughts on CZW. So, Mike, unless anything else you want to talk about, I think we'll wrap it up there. Thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun, and I'm really happy that you invited me on. And
yeah, we'll definitely have you back in the future.
Please do it. Yeah, anytime.
This was a great success. Anything you want to plug?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking actually this morning when I'm like, I wonder if Alan's going to ask me to plug something.
People ask me to plug shit, and like even since I've been starting doing this show, I always feel weird plugging stuff. But before I started this show, like people got me to come on. Just when I was like on a message board, like people asked me to come on and do shows and stuff, and they'd ask me what I want to plug, and I was like,
I'd
be plugging like foods I like. Yeah, go to Eddie Rockets if you're an artist. It's awesome.
Tell people to donate to charity or something like that. Yeah. I don't know what to say. No, but I just want to plug real quick. If you go to the newly christened Alan Farrell Wrestling Fun thread in the on the F4W board, like we're not all nerds. Like we're actually, you know, we just like wrestling. So like, you know, I think people kind of like see moderated forum and kind of get like scared and don't want to go in. But like, you know, come in and you'll see like right at the top there's a sticky. It says 2010 match of the year tracking, whatever. And like, every month or so I'll go and post my match, you know, all my favorite matches that year. And I'll, you know, definitely if anyone's looking for stuff to watch, because I see like a lot of people getting back into ROH now. They're like, oh, what shows can I get? Or what shows can I pick up? Or now, like, you know, maybe from there, okay, let's check out some, you know, Chikara, this and that, whatever. Like, I'm, you know, pretty much updating it regularly, you know, what matches are good, what shows to check out. So I guess if I have anything to plug, it's go visit that board a little bit more and, you know, participate. You know, if anyone has any questions or wants to know what shows to get, you know, send me an email or send me a PM on the board.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I'm really happy with that little forum at the moment. I think it's really going along perfectly, and I occasionally stick my head out. No, not at all. I occasionally stick my head out into the regular pro wrestling forum, and my God, I'm sorry, lads, they're posted there, but that shit is a wasteland right now.
Yeah.
Like, every time I click into a thread, like, two posts in, I want to get out as quickly as possible. It's shit. It's like I've been on this board since it opened 2005, and that pro wrestling section is at a low of lows. But honestly, the rest of the board, like, I really enjoy, like, pretty much
everything. That's why I'm happy there's your section, because, you know, I kind of like the pro wrestling section, because I think it's so bad that that's what makes it good, as long as there's another place to go to, you know, have an actual conversation. But I mean, hey, if people want to go in the pro wrestling section, post whatever. Yeah. I mean, I'm addicted to it. I'm on it like all day when I'm at work. So, you know, I like it.
Figure four is blocked in my work. It's very my first day starting in that office. I went to go on figure four. Yeah. About 5 minutes into the place, blocked. I still haven't worked out why it's blocked, because like there's hardly any websites blocked in my work, but for some reason Figure 4 Wrestling Observer is blocked. I guess it must be something that gets caught in a filter or something, but
yeah, it must be. Like I go on my iPhone. Like, I work for the government, so, like, I try and I don't know what they would think if they saw me going on Wrestling Observer or anything like that. So I kind of just stick to Yahoo Sports and all that, but I'll go on the board on my iPhone.
I often get to spend, like, several weeks in different offices, so they're not blocked there, so I get my fair share of time on. Well, when I am in the office, I'm not able to go on Figure Four. Check out CCW Fans, everyone, because you'll see more of Mike Hill's posts.
Oh yeah, I post on there too. I forgot it. Yeah, that's a great board too.
Yeah, that is a great board. So check out all that stuff, and guys, thanks for listening to the show.
Alan, thanks for having me on, man.
No problem, Mike. It's been a pleasure, and we'll be back with probably pretty soon. We'll be back with the next edition of this series of shows, looking at some of the alternative wrestling that's going on at the moment. If you're fed up with WWE's PG direction, or you don't watch TNA at all, like myself, and you.
I thought Evan Bourne and Jericho was pretty good.
I actually did watch that.
I was gonna say, like, I forgot to mention that to you. I know you're saying you don't watch WWE now, but I thought that match was real good.
You know, I got to kind of say and talk about this, since it is like the main point of what's made these shows together. So we'll close with this. I was loving WWE up until 2 weeks ago or whatever.
Yeah.
I am so happy with
that Friday night. It was like a very late Friday night, early that Saturday when I found out,
Friday night was when I saw the Twitter post, and I thought he had changed his name to Danielson, and I thought the firing was at work, and I was like, this is cool. And Saturday morning. But anyway, I was just going to say, I am so happy with that roster right now. I think that's like my favorite WWE roster in 10 years.
And
I love the roster. I love a lot of the angles and stuff they do. There's so much I love about that promotion right now. But when they fired Danielson, it could have been anyone. It could have been Skip Sheffield.
I wonder if we'll ever know. I mean, like, we're on this website where we find, like, the most insider news, and, like, not even, you know, Dave knows what's going on. So, like, whatever happened, you know, who really knows?
My whole thing is, it's not about it being Danielson. It's just, I was just so disappointed that they did this angle that was so hot and felt so, like, it just felt like a real, legit, intense thing.
People felt like they were kids again, you know what I mean? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, I want intensity in my rest. I want to watch stuff and not feel like when I see something that's intense and good, like, that's what I love watching in my wrestling. And they did this, and it was like that. And then they turn around, and you see that that's not what they want at all. It was too intense for them. They got scared. They don't want that.
And they crossed the line.
They crossed, and I was like, I knew there was this PG direction. I was more or less cool with it. But in one fell swoop, they showed me that it was way more of way more serious about it, and it was way more extreme in that direction than I imagined. And it just made.
I thought the spit put it over the top.
The what?
The spit.
Yeah, they.
I think that's what did it.
I just in one fell swoop. I just my kind of my just current outlook on WWE just got really, really negative.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa! If this is where they're going and what they want to be, it's like I suddenly have like no interest, and I just like I went from looking forward to every single show for like the past few weeks to not wanting to watch any other show. But I will say, since you mentioned Jericho and Bourne, they suckered me in with that one. I was like, oh, I can't not watch Jericho and Bourne, so I went back and watched that. It was a very good match, and I'm sure there's probably going to be good matches every week that I want to see, but I at least
I'll let you know on that. That's why you got to go visit the Alan Farrell board.
Exactly.
Find out about him.
So that's kind of the reasoning behind these shows happening. That and the fact that I was scrambling for an idea for a show or a series of shows, as a load of shit fell through that I was planning on the next couple of shows, and I came up with this ingenious idea. It's never before done. To talk about wrestling, what a novel concept!
Changing the face.
Yeah, I really thought outside the box with this one, didn't I? But
I'm really hoping people enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm happy to be doing these shows and getting on new people like Mike, who like I think you were awesome, Mike, and I'm looking forward to having other people who who people haven't heard on a lot of these shows before, and hopefully everyone will enjoy them, and we'll...
It's nice to have get a voice behind the username, you know what I mean? You always kind of see Mike Hill or Alan Farrell or whatever like that, yeah. But like... You know what I mean? You wonder what you want to have a conversation with him. You
and
know?
It's like, guys, Rob Naylor's getting old. He's getting on in years. We need to create some new stars.
We need a new, Rob Naylor's also from the Wilkes-Barre area. So like, I'm 5'5", so I'm just a little bit taller and I'm from a little bit more down south of Pennsylvania than he is. So.
Yeah. Well, we'll try and get Rob back on as soon as possible. He's pretty busy at the moment, but, hopefully everyone will check out these shows and enjoy them. So, we'll wrap things up there before I ramble on any longer. Mike, thanks again. It's been great. Okay, everyone, check us out. Coming soon, another show. See ya.
Till 2027, rather see me in a cell instead of this new McLaren. God'll take you through hell just to get you to heaven. So even though it's heavy, the load I will carry, grin and still bear it, win and still share it. Apologies to the fans, I hope you can understand it. Life can change your directions, even when you ain't planning. All you can do is handle it, worst thing you can do is panic. Use it to your advantage, avoid insanity, manage to conquer every obstacle, make impossible possible. Even when winning's illogical, losing's still far from optional. And yeah, they wanna see you shot up in the hospital, but when life throw punches, block your counter like a boxer. Do been locked inside because it's too long. I did a song to make it known that the king lives on, pimpin'.
I ain't dead, no. Show you how.